Hey y'all, we're going to look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves and said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So here we have another incident that Mark wants to use to present Jesus and his ministry and what he did in his ministry. And this is a different kind of healing. He's healed a leper, but now he heals someone who's paralyzed, a paralytic man. So a few things, though, to note about this encounter in the house. First of all, notice what he says to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So he sees what these guys do, and I imagine this must have created some commotion, tearing through the sticks and the mud and the roof and lowering this guy through. It must have taken a little bit of time and probably got dirt on top of Jesus. But Jesus is impressed by their faith, and his response to this guy is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I think this is really important. Maybe we could frame it this way. What is worse, being sick or infirm in some way, or being in a state of unforgiveness? I think Jesus wants to say that the worst thing is to be in a state of unforgiveness, and that that's the most important thing to address, and that's what he came to address. He came to extend forgiveness. And so I think that's important for us to keep in mind. We think of many bad things that might happen to us, but the worst bad thing that can be to a person is that they are in a place where they're unforgiven and estranged from God because of that unforgiveness. And Mark wants to emphasize again that Jesus' ministry was primarily teaching and then illustrating the teaching of the kingdom of God by doing two things: by healing people of physical infirmities and by opposing the forces that work to destroy mankind. And we could add to that this third thing, which is forgiveness of sins. And I should add that all three of those things were meant to be addressed in the temple or the tabernacle for Israel. So Jesus is fulfilling what the tabernacle was all about, but in a far more proactive way, because in the temple, if you were healed, if you happened to overcome leprosy, then you went. But Jesus goes out and finds people and cleanses them. But the next thing that I want to draw out of this passage is what it means for us to the church. I think that Mark wants us to see or to think about our gatherings together in this meeting in the house. Remember that the earliest Christian churches or gatherings met in homes. This was in a house, and so it was very crowded. And I think Mark is thinking of that or reminding the church of his own day about that. And the point is, they heard Jesus was in the house, and that's why people began to gather. And we need to remember that the reason we gather, and we could say the only reason, is that Jesus is there, or Jesus promised to be there, there at the table, there in each other. There in the living stones that God is putting together as a house. That's why we gather. And we should always gather for that reason. We should gather because we want to go and be where He is. And that's the primary thing. But it should also remind us that what Jesus did to this man is what the church is supposed to continually be about. the restoration of people in their health physically, the restoration of people in their thoughts, the restoration of people in their relationships. Jesus wants to put people back together. He wants to put their lives back together to restore what sin has destroyed. And that is always what the gathering of the people of God is about. Physical healing, emotional healing, the restoration of humanity from the fall of sin. But notice too what the friends of this man did. The friends of this man, they got it. They got that, all right, if we can get him around Jesus, something's going to happen. And so their main question was, how can we get him around Jesus? And they were hindered. Well, I think they're an example to all Christians of what we are to do. Our message isn't us. There's nothing special about us. Our message is that the kingdom of God gives access to Jesus, who gives access to God the Father. And so we should do the same thing these guys did. We should use boldness, creativity, and determination to bring people into the presence of Jesus. That will do everything. We do that by our gatherings. We do that by worship. We do that through the ministry of the word. We do that through welcoming people into our homes, by letting people see our relationships with one another. But the bottom line of all of it is we give our energy and our heart to figuring out how we can bring people into the presence of Jesus. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as the servants of other people to bring them into his presence. So I think those four men are challenging the church. That's exactly what we do. That is exactly what we are called to do. That is what church work simply is bringing people into the presence of Jesus. And then finally, I think we can see in this episode God's final intention for the human race. Again, he forgives this guy of sin, but he also restores him to absolute wholeness in his body. And this points us to the resurrection of the dead. The Christian message is nothing without the promise of the resurrection of the dead. It's not just that Jesus was resuscitated, it's that he was raised physically, never to die again, and that is God's intention for the entire human race, to be restored and made whole in every way. That process begins for us now in discipleship to Jesus here. But the promise of heaven, the promise of eternity, is the restoration of everything that God intended for the human race. And that means the physical body, that means our minds, our thoughts, it means everything. You know, sometimes we like to say that humans only use 10% of their brain. I don't think that's exactly true. But I will say what God intends for the human person and the human body, we've been only given a glimpse of this side of eternity. But this passage should create in us a longing for that. So may we, like those four men and like that man, may we who have been weakened and made infirm by sin, find our way to him through his gracious assistance so that we can be restored to the wholeness that he intends for the whole human race. Amen.